Happy first day of spring, everybody. Yes, it is. I'm Larry Jacobs on the 21st of March, 2022. Thanks so much for being here today. We have a really nice show for you right now, although it's about a very serious subject. People I love have it on, but it's a serious subject about realistic mental health supports for students and staff these days. These are tumultuous times coming off the pandemic. A lot of stress out there, all right? And as we know, there's also a shortage of therapists. So I've got Diana Parafinick, Ashley Sanders, Kerry Ackerson from teletherapy, from e-therapy, at electronic therapy, teletherapy, that's what they do, e-therapy.com, okay, to talk about, okay, all these challenges and what we can really do about it realistically. All right, so it's going to be a really nice show on a very serious subject, but we're still going to have a lot of fun doing it. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Please go over there, listen to any podcast you want. They're all listed over there. Our magazine is there, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. We also have a new professional learning part of it, which talks about teacher retention. You can actually check on teacher-retention.com if you want to go over there and see what we're offering in that regard. And we also do, which e-therapy helps us so much with, is SEL Today, seltoday.org. So please check it all out, but it's all linked at ace-ed.org. A lot of stuff going on, but it's still spring. And let me get everybody on here, and let me say, hi, Diana. It's Larry. Where are you today?
Hi, Larry. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, perfect. I'm in Arizona today.
Good. Good for you.
And, yeah, lovely to be here. So nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good. It's good. I'm in Maine. I'm far from you today, but it's a 70-degree day, so I'm happy. How's the weather in Arizona, Diana?
Wow. Well, we had snow, so you're ahead
where are
of me.
You? Where are you? Are you up by, where are you?
I'm at 7,000 feet. I'm in Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm north. I'm like in between Sedona and the Grand Canyon.
Absolutely. And as I think I've told you, Sedona is probably my favorite place in the entire country. Okay, so I've been to Flagstaff, which is close enough to drive to, on the way to the Grand Canyon, I might add, everybody, okay? So we're talking e-therapy at electronic-therapy.com. Ashley, how are you down in Florida? Are you there today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. We have beautiful weather, so I'm happy.
You always do. It's Florida. And Kerry in Wisconsin. Hi, Kerry. I'm Larry Jacobs. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. Hi, thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure.
I got to
find
out.
You sound great, but I got to ask you, I have this note. We're talking about, again, e-therapy, electronic-therapy.com, but you're a trainer. This I love, and I want you to just explain this before I go any further, on the neurosequential model in education, which is from a Dr. Bruce Perry, and I just wanted to ask you what that is, because you've also developed other stuff. We're going to talk about this Help Me app and all that sort of thing from Stop It Solutions. But what's a neurosequential model in education trainer do for a living?
Well, so the neurosequential model created by Dr. Bruce Perry, I encourage everyone to look him up or read his new book with Oprah called What Happened to You? And the neurosequential model is based on
Do I ask Oprah who?
No, it's that Oprah. It's that one. But the neurosequential model trains us, people, educators, parents, community members, that the brain develops from the bottom up. And sometimes when there's an impact on that development, it can come out later when the child has certain behaviors. Because they're not particularly resilient in that part of their brain. And so how do we connect to that part of their brain that was they maybe weren't cared for properly during that part of their brain development? And so how
mm-hmm.
do we
wow.
look at those behaviors
wow.
and
wow.
understand what happened to them rather than what's wrong with them?
Wow, that's pretty cool. I got to tell you, I didn't know anything about that. Okay, it's really interesting. How did you learn to do all that?
Well,
how did you learn it? That's cool.
Well, so I learned it from the Neurosequential Network and Dr. Perry, and now I'm training a 1,000 rural people across 131 school districts in northern Wisconsin, so that we can really wrap our arms around both kids and families who have been under significant stress during COVID and for a lot of other reasons in our society. So that's what we're hoping to do, is just meet everybody where they're at and help them to regulate so we can relate to them and have better relationships with them.
And are you up by Green Bay or further up?
I'm not. I'm on the exact other side of the state from Green Bay. I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And it's pretty brisk up here. We're expecting some snow rain, but that's okay.
I'm loving this. I live in Maine. It's snowing everywhere else but here. This is good news. I love it. 70 degrees here. Okay. It's just great. Thank you for this. And we're going to talk about this app you developed called the Help Me app. And that's via another company, so to speak, called Stop It Solutions, which eTherapy, again, electronic-therapy.com, Diana's company, is involved with. Diana, put this all together and tell us about eTherapy.
Yeah, thanks. So we've been in business for about 13 years now, a little more, actually, working with schools with all populations, from special needs now to general education students. And we provide related services, everything from speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and then mental health services and virtual behavior solutions. And so I had the loveliest opportunity to meet Carrie and learn more about Help Me and Stop It. And it was a perfect marriage between eTherapy and what they were doing.
Right.
Yes. And for us to join forces to be able to expand reach and support through what they do, where Carrie will elaborate more on that, and our connection to immediate counseling and screening and care plan development for students in need in particular moments in time where it's essential that they get service and care. So with that, I'll actually lead into Carrie kind of explaining the first part of her Help Me app and Stop It, and then how that dovetails with our services and how we work together in our partnership to solve a lot of the challenges that we're experiencing in mental health with students in education.
Great. I just want to say it again, okay, just so everybody understands this. Help Me is an app developed by Carrie, who's going to talk in a minute, and you can learn more about it, if I'm reading this correctly, at Stop It, just like it sounds, Stop It Solutions, one word, .com, and they're working in partnership with Diana and Ashley's company, which is called eTherapy, and that's at electronic-therapy.com. Was that good, Diana? Did that make sense, Diana? Was that good?
Yep, that makes sense. That makes sense. Good job, Larry.
Thanks, pal. I'm trying to get this straight for everybody. Now, Ashley, hang tight. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, Carrie, put this all together from your point of view now. Everybody, Carrie Ackerson.
Thank you. So
you're welcome.
I've provided consulting to Stop It Solutions for several years. They have a very strong anonymous reporting platform, as well as many things along the continuum of school safety products. When I looked at their platform, really just before the beginning of COVID, I thought, how could we use this really good intuitive interface, but in a way that would help students and families and staff earlier, right? So, yes, we want people to say something when they see something. We want people to be upstanders. But really, what are we doing for those people on the front end of their school experience when we meet that parent or caregiver? What are we offering them to say, we care about you, we care that you have the basic needs for you and your children, how can we help? And what are we providing to them that allows them to ask for help with dignity and privacy? And that's what reporting part helps. And so we know that asking for help is a life skill. We also know that when our families are sometimes growing up with multiple challenges, some of the things we learn first are don't talk to social workers and don't talk to law enforcement. And that's because there's a real risk of your family blowing up, right, if some of these things that happen in homes get out. And what happens then is when kids go to school, and often when parents just approach school, there's a lack of trust already that really puts the school and the caregiver at a distinct disadvantage. And so we know our students need to come ready to learn, right? And what does ready to learn mean?
Right.
They have clean clothes. They have enough food. They have shelter, right? They're not homeless. And so how can we encourage people to ask for help in a way that is safe and link them to all of the resources that are out there now because of all of the money that came out through the American Rescue Plan and through all of the ESSER money?
Yes.
And there's all these new resources, but it's the linkages that are so critical. And the same thing for staff. People who may never have asked for help before in their life may now be in a situation where they're drinking more than they should, or their home is more stressful than it ever has been. And we need to help those people feel comfortable asking for help and accessing help resources, again, with anonymity when they want it, asking for help to be delivered in the way that they want it, so that we're not re-traumatizing anyone and we're teaching everyone asking for help is a life skill. Let's learn it. Let's meet your needs. So when your students come to school, they're ready. And when our teachers come to class, they're ready to teach.
I think that's wonderful. And let me ask you, you said that you were training a whole bunch of, if I heard you correctly, educators. Okay. How do you want schools to be involved in this? Because you said, you know, that you're concerned about families. Okay. You want families to have the right resources, yet you're training educators. Put those two things together, if you can, Carrie,
so,
please.
Yep, just to be clear, those two things are two different jobs that I do. However, they are very interrelated.
Sorry. Forgive me.
One of the jobs with the Neurosequential Network certainly teaches you that kids simply cannot learn before these needs are met. You
right.
cannot overpower the part of your brain that says, I'm hungry, I'm frightened. It's impossible. So we need to stop thinking that we can do that with good pedagogical techniques. It's just not possible.
Hear, hear.
So that part teaches everyone, hey, we need to get all students to this level before our classes will be ready to learn. And so that's where I train community members, parents, bus drivers, lunch people, all these people, how they personally can make a huge difference in a child's life. So what we know, right, is that families face all sorts of stressors right now, but they even did before COVID. And what we also know is that a single caring adult can change the trajectory of a child's life. It certainly did in my case. I lost a sibling when I was in third grade and was saved by a teacher who just loved me and held me with her through that year so that I could go on in school and still be okay. And so I'm obviously very thankful. A bus driver was also involved. So I see that many, many people in the school can be the helpers that our children need, and it can't just be the teachers. So that's what I'm trying to train all of those school-oriented folks. And then with the Help Me app, it's just kind of that's a way to get that. And again, that's a way to link to help.
I know, yes.
But with and adding Diana's therapy in it, you know, if someone comes on and they say, I'm really concerned about this young person, they don't have to tell us it's their son. Or they can just say they seem to be, you know, very focused on weapons. They seem to be very focused on suicide. I don't know what to do. Well, as a school, you never want to be in a position to get that message and not know what to do next. And that's why we partnered with eTherapy and their platform, and they can quickly come in, do an assessment package for those students, and help the school know how to go forward based on that assessment. And so that's why the partnership with Diana, I feel blessed.
Perfect.
It's brilliant.
It's a wonderful
partnership. I know it will help our schools. And many rural schools across the country need mental health providers. And so what Diana is doing is really critical.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. And, you know, you mentioned northern Wisconsin, which is pretty rural. I live in southern Maine, which is pretty rural, okay, and we can go to a lot of other places, okay, not like a big city like Flagstaff, gigantic metropolis. Just kidding.
It's gigantic.
Okay. All right. I want to go back. Okay, I'm going to bring Ashley into this. Ashley, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, Ashley, you're an educational mental health program manager at eTherapy. Okay, and again, everybody, that's electronic-therapy.com. And I'm just going to ask you a very anecdotal but important question. What are you seeing out there? Okay, this is a hard time, and schools or kids or teachers are stressed, all right? And we don't have the therapists we need. That's why a great company like eTherapy comes in. Talk about this from your experience, Ashley. What's going on out there?
Yeah, so nationally we are seeing that across the board more students are needing more mental health supports. And whether that is bringing more social-emotional learning right into the classroom or them actually needing that direct therapy or family therapy, we are seeing a huge need across the board for students that, you know, are reaching out and that is impacting their academics, it's impacting them socially.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we're seeing that a lot of the people in education, and that's not just the teachers, that is all support staff, that's administrative teams, you know, that is the teachers.
Carrie mentioned the lunch people and the bus drivers and the custodians and everybody else who chips in. It's everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal
so
out
they
there.
Are sitting there holding space for these students that are really, you know, struggling with the stressors of COVID and just life in general, while also they're experiencing their own stressors, their own pressure. So they need that support. So we're just seeing that within education, you know, everybody is, they're supporting each other, but there's only so much support to give. So there is a huge need for, you know, mental health to partner within education so we can give that support to not only students, but all the people within education.
Yeah, it's so brutal out there. And I want to ask Diana, CEO of the company, okay, are you CEO? You are. You're the founder. Are you the CEO? Diana?
No,
what are you?
I'm not the official CEO. I am the founder, and I am the chief innovation officer and CMO. So many hats, but
I am
the founder of the company.
And you make every hat look good, so it's okay.
Thank you.
You can wear many hats, but they all look good. Okay, when you do all types of therapy at eTherapy, what seems to be the most need right now? Okay, and I'm curious how you work, and let me ask you two parts, and how you work with, this is the thing that always scares me, how you work with educators to help them notice this type of stuff, and I know you do that, so go ahead. What's the big stuff out there right now?
No, that's a really great question. You know, we've definitely had an evolution at eTherapy with the services that we provide and the needs that are out there, and always I, you know, stress students with special needs and are always underserved, even when we have locations
in the best of times,
where, you know,
let's say it that
in
way,
the
best, in the
best
of times. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You're right.
So, so it's always a first and foremost focus, right, is to make sure that we can that students have access to service. And what we've seen over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years here and just immense growth is the mental health, virtual behavioral health space. And I think part of that is the opportunities, like Carrie said, in terms of accessing funding and knowing what's out there or the education of becoming more awake as to what different, is available, right? Having those conversations with educators and decision makers so they're able to have that openness to see what it is that now is an imperative time to implement the programming that they need,
yeah.
not just for students with special needs, but the general education
Everybody.
Population, and as Ashley, yes, as Ashley mentioned, and Carrie, the educators as well. And so we have really done a deep dive within eTherapy to expand the programming and services that we have to all the facets within education. And that extends from everything to solution-focused free therapy, to extended direct service therapy, to bridging the gaps of school districts that have students that, or educators and teachers and additional staff that are waiting in have huge wait times to be able to see a counselor or a therapist, where we can come in and we can really provide that service in the interim period of time. And then on top of that, we've created wellness-focused counseling sessions for cohorts of educators. And yes, that has really allowed for teacher retention and employment retention, but
good. Thank
giving
you.
The
Wonderful.
Yes, it's amazing, and paving the pathway for that opportunity as an outlet for those educators and staff to have a reach to be able to get more knowledge and better their own self wellness and bring that into their classroom as well and become more aware of what they need to do for their students as well. Everybody knows on this call, I think the burnout is real.
Everyone has
exhaustion.
It's frightening.
It is. It really is. And we have really dedicated our time and our focus to the mental health issues at hand. So, and I'm sure Ashley can go deeper into what all of that looks like. And as Carrie mentioned before, how we work together, is essential because they're getting these reporting events and having a place where they can then do an extended reach out where we can come in and do that assessment of the student right. and provide intervention sessions and a post-assessment and a care plan for next steps really has been a saving grace for the school district that we work with. So I'm happy to pass that baton over to Ashley if she wants to dig deeper into that with you or Larry, however you want to continue that piece.
No. Actually, I was going to bring Ashley in. So, Ashley, it's all yours.
Do you want to hear more about? Because
yes.
I think we've talked about a lot. We've talked about supporting students and what that looks like when we've got a student that we know like needs help, and then we also have talked about our educator wellness. Which do you think the listeners would most like to hear about?
Actually, I'm going to throw that back on you because you're in the field all the time. Oh, serious, okay? And both of those are serious challenges, all right? And right now, again, you're in there. You're in the trenches. You put the priorities out there if you can. Both, to me, they're equal. But you just go ahead.
Ashley?
I'll try to be brief and maybe get them both in. So I'll talk a little bit about what that comprehensive assessment process looks like when we know that a student's in need. And that's the biggest thing we're hearing is we have so many students in need. How do we even decide what
mm-hmm.
to do?
Yeah.
So what we've done as a company is really what education does best is we go, okay, well, let's look at the data. Let's look at the student and like, let's look at some individual data. So we work with the student to do like a brief psychosocial assessment, kind of get to know their background. We look at their presenting concerns, but then we start looking at data. So we look at that school-based data. We look at what are grades like? What is attendance like? What is discipline like? Because students are at school so much of their day, that is one of the number one places we start to see how a mental health condition could be impacting them, what's going on. But then we also look at some screeners. So we have screeners that we use everything from what's going on with anxiety and depression to more general ones having to do with, you know, social behaviors and conduct issues. So we're going to look at a screener to really get a starting point of what's going on with that student and what do they need that support on. Then we use solution-focused brief therapy over, you know, 3 to 5, 6, 7 sessions. It's kind of up to the school and up to the student's family and, you know, up to the clinician to decide. But we use that solution-focused brief therapy because it is so solution focused. We are looking at resolutions. We are building up that student's strengths. We are supporting that student to figure out what's going on, and we're going to continuously look at that data the whole time. And from those data points and from that solution focused therapy, we're able to sit there and go, okay, and this is the care plan. This is what the student needs within their educational environment. Do they need ongoing support? Do they need a mentor? Do they need maybe to be part of the book club at school? You know, sometimes it's as simple as getting a student involved in extracurriculars that can make a huge difference. So that's what we're doing on the student side for support. And then we
I've got to ask you one question. Okay, and you've been doing this a while. We always talk about how COVID has affected the kids, and we know it has, okay?
Right.
But you said this before when you were just introducing it. You said that we got to worry not only about COVID, but just growing up in general. Kids have a million hang-ups as they grow up. No offense to kids. We all went through that, okay? and some of us never outgrow them, by the way. But my point is we always talk about COVID. Have you noticed a real difference between now and before COVID or during, however you want to do that? Ashley, again, I'm asking you because you're really in the trenches there. Ashley,
I think the data supports an increase. So prior to COVID, about 1 in 5.
Well, I'm not asking about the data. I'm asking you because to me you're living data. You're good data.
So we definitely have seen an increased need. So, you know, while some students did great being at home, other students had a lot tougher time with that, and then that transition back, since most of the schools are open again and most students are back, that transition has been very tough on a lot of students. Expectations are still there. Testing and education still exists, right? And that is very stressful after maybe you're feeling a little bit behind. Because of remote learning, you know, navigating everything that's going on in life, we have students that have lost loved ones or have friends that have lost
loved
ones.
Thank you for saying that.
So that's just, you know, there's so many little factors that impact the whole group so that, yes, there's definitely an increased need for students after COVID.
Yeah. And I'm more interested, I know the data shows that, but your anecdotal look at it makes all the difference in the world. That puts real life into it. And now talk about the second thing you wanted to talk about, how it's all affected the educational staff, faculty, whatever. Go ahead.
Right. So we see that, you know, just like all of us have been stressed, just like the students have been stressed, those in education have been stressed. Sometimes even, you know, more so than other people as individuals, you know, because they have not only the pressure of their own lives, they have pressure of their students that they're trying to support. So we have seen an increased need nationally for educator support. So we do that. We're able to provide therapy services for staff as well, and we've seen that be really successful because unlike an employee assistance program, they're talking to therapists that know education, right?
Wow.
They know the lingo. They know the stressors. They use that solution-focused brief therapy, which is really fits well with education because it is solution-focused. It's brief. It's about finding resolutions, and I think most educators I've worked with are really, you know, they're that type of people that want to find solutions.
I got to ask you a question on that. I must ask this question, okay? As you talk to educators, are you finding that both male and female educators, okay, are asking for your services on an equal not on an equal basis, at the same number, the same ratio, so to speak. Because women tend to be, and I love women for this, they tend to be more easygoing about this thing. They're more willing to reach out than guys are. But there's plenty of male teachers. Okay, and I'm just stereotyping here. I can do this because I'm a guy. Okay? What are you finding, male versus female? Okay, and don't get mad at me, everybody. I'm just going from what I think is right here. Yeah.
No, yeah, women are definitely socialized a little bit more to be comfortable asking for help. But we're seeing male teachers reach out for help.
Women. Yeah.
So we definitely see both asking for help. I mean, obviously, in a school system, you may have a larger percentage of female educators, but we're seeing the male educators reach out and participate. We don't do just individual support, so we do have like wellness sessions which is all about coming together as a group and kind of talking about a specific area of wellness. And it could be anything from creating connections to navigating difficult conversations to addressing burnout. But within those educator groups that we're doing, where we're really not only talking about how to do that for yourself, but talking about how to bring that back to your professional life and your personal life. We see, I'm having male teachers participate too and get a lot out of it.
Right. That's like some of the best news I've heard. Okay. That's really good. That's really good. And it was, just women are much better at this than men are. I don't care what anybody says. They reach out better. They do it better. Okay. It's that simple. Okay. Carrie, let me swing back to you. Okay. Carrie, are you there? Yeah, Carrie,
yes,
again, Carrie Ackerson. Okay, Carrie, okay, when you do all this, we can just use Northern Wisconsin as an example of everywhere in USA. What are you finding as you're working out there, okay, in therapy these days with schools? What's this?
So,
just your anecdotal thoughts about
it.
And I want schools to understand. I have to say this. There is a shortage of school psychologists, a shortage of school counselors, a shortage of school social workers, and a company like eTherapy it was always important, but it's so important now. It's just nuts out there. You may proceed now, Carrie.
I wholeheartedly agree with that statement, which is why I hooked up with them. So
yeah, I know.
I just want to go over a little bit about why are humans, like, let's not break this down to students, adults. Why are humans so, why are we in crisis? Why is there so much stress with COVID? And it's based on really three deep psychological issues, right? We have a need as humans for certainty. We brush our teeth every day. We pick out our clothes from the same place. We do all of these banal things that, They actually give us little rewards in our brain. Well, that's been completely thrown off, right? That's just one thing. Then, as humans, our brains give us a desire for control or autonomy, right? We need to feel that we are in control of our own lives. Well, that has significantly changed, right? One day we have to stay in the house, wear a mask. You don't wear a mask. Come to school, don't come to school. And so there's this. Loss of control and autonomy, and frankly, we don't know when the next, when the next type of COVID is going to come around. And then finally, the human brain body needs connectedness with others, right? So as Dr. Perry says, for thousands and thousands of years, we grew up in clans of 40 to 50 people, and our brains we're fully connected to those people, multi-generational, et cetera. And so when we, during COVID, when they said, stay away from your elderly parents, stay away from your new grandchildren, stay away from extended family and friends, we lost that connectedness with others that really, it really is harmful than our brain, or on our brain. And there's studies out there that show that isolation can be more debilitating than smoking. So we know that this affects our brain and body. And the other thing, and this is everyone, right? This is kids and adults. They're affected by this. But I want to go back to the adult sort of from a chicken or the egg perspective. And I want to use a quote from a gentleman, from a principal from Vermont, which is sort of up in your neck of the woods.
It is indeed.
Yeah. What he said was principals across the state are saying that teachers are more stressed than they've ever been, and students are more dysregulated. Well, this is not a surprise, because a student's normal brain response to an adult that's really tuned up or, really stressed is to also be stressed. So to use a Bruce Perryism, a regulated, calm adult can regulate a dysregulated child, right? We've seen an adult and a child is crying, even a baby. Think about it. You swing them back and forth. You pat them on the back, right? You're calm and you can regulate that child. But a dysregulated adult can never calm a dysregulated child. So if we're saying teachers are under more stress than they've ever been and kids are acting out, of course they are. Kids don't know what to do when the people they look to for calm and guidance are freaking out. And that includes their parents and their teachers. And so this is a very, very, very natural brain reaction to that. And so when I think about e-therapy and the great stuff they're doing for teachers and to, you know, when I train educational-oriented staff and say, put your oxygen mask on first, right? What do we hear when we're in airplanes? Put your oxygen mask on first before assisting a child, because you have to be calm, and then you can calm down a child and ready them, not just to learn, but just ready them to move forward in life and to comfort them. So e-therapy is definitely doing the right thing by making new resources available to teachers and educational staff, because we depend on them to calm our children and help them be ready to learn.
You can't have healthy kids without healthy adults. Diana, keep these people. These are very good people, Gary and Ashley.
I know.
Keep them.
I know. They are
keep
gems.
Them. Yeah. I mean, really.
They are
you know?
All doing
so,
amazing work. It's true.
They are. And so in the next 3 minutes, okay, Diana, founder and chief innovation officer, okay, sum it all up for e-therapy. Go ahead. What do you want people to walk away
no
with
pressure.
On this?
Yeah,
no pressure.
Pressure.
Go
there.
Ahead. No, you're on. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, just let me do the Jeopardy.
Larry, that we're here, right? We're accessible. You can reach out to us if you're interested. And yes, always. And that we're here for. Go ahead.
That word is key. That word is key. You can't find professionals like you guys who are accessible anymore. We need it more than ever. That's a key word.
We really
Thank
do.
You. Accessible.
We really do. And it's huge. And our partnership with Stop It and Help Me is just nationally for every district that's out there. I think it's imperative that you have something in place as strong as the anonymous reporting and the Help Me app that Carrie's developed, which is a life-changing for families and adults and educators and students. And that coincides, obviously, with e-therapy as well, and that we're here to provide not just your mental health and virtual behavioral health solutions, but also for the students who have communication disorders and gross and fine motor and all the students out there that need OT, PT, and speech as well on
Thank
top
you.
Of all the additional struggles that they have. So please reach out to us.
Electronic-therapy.com. And if they go there, can they? Do I should I give them the Stop It stuff or Help Me as well, or what should I do, Diana? Help me, Diana.
You know, Carrie can give you her contact information as well.
Carrie, do you want to just give it real quick? So where they should go?
Sure. I strongly encourage people to go to, like you said, StopItSolutions.com. And one of the many good resources they have there is Help Me. You can also reach me at carrieackerson@gmail.com, K-E-R-R-I-E, Ackerson, A-C-K-E-R-S-O-N, @gmail.com. And I'd love to talk to you. If your school is interested in any of the services you see at Stop It Solutions, including our partnership with e-therapy, and we have fund sources available, and we're happy to help you write grants to get that money if you need need more money. And so, we hope to hear from many of you. The students and teachers and parents all need our help right now, and we want to help them.
Well said. So now you have to know how to get in contact. Now, Ashley's down in Orlando, so Ash, can I give out your email so that anybody who can't get a hotel room at Disney World can stay at your house? She hung up on me.
You know, but
yes. Right. No, I'm really kidding. Don't call Ashley. Okay? Don't call Ashley. Sit down in Orlando. Okay? This is great, guys. Right. I bet it is. and she needs her rest. She's got busy days. She needs her rest. Don't stay at Ashley's house when in Orlando. We're going to archive over at h-n.org. This is great. Diana, I love you, and I love your team. It's just great to talk to you. We'll do more, I promise.
Love you too, Larry.
Okay,
oh,
you take care.
You so
drive
much.
Carefully
so
out
glad
there.
To be here.
In my, that favorite part of the world of mine, Flagstaff to Sedona. Wow. I just love it out there. Just great.
You'll have to come on out.
No, I will. Not to worry. And when I do, I'll see you, I promise. Carrie, Ashley, you guys take care. It's a pleasure to have you both on the show with Diana. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. No,
you are welcome. Bye-bye. Okay. E-Therapy, electronic-therapy.com. Okay, and Stop It Solutions, which is working with E-Therapy, is just like a thing else, stopitsolutions.com. Okay, that's Carrie Ackerson from there and Diana and Ashley from E-Therapy. All right, so check it all out, please. Okay, and that's electronic-therapy.com. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. And as you can tell, this teacher retention thing is a big deal. It's really rough out there. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K 12. If you're an educator, stay where you are. Okay? We want you to stay. We can't lose any more great educators. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening, everybody.